Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you. Well, good evening to you, Dr. Atolabe.
Good evening.
Are you doing this Friday?
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm well. Doing very well.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, cool weather's here this side, I must tell you. So we're just enduring a little bit of cold. Otherwise, we're good. We're good. We're good. Now,
praise the Lord.
Yeah, we're talking about the effects of sleep deprivation. And those who are coming, joining us, we are joined by Dr. Atolabe, who comes and talks to us about, you know, health issues. Now, if you've ever spent a night tossing and turning, you already know about how you'll feel the next day. You're tired, you're cranky, and all sorts of things. But missing out on the recommended hours of shut eye nightly does more than just make you feel groggy and grumpy. The long-term effects of sleep deprivation are actually real, and this is what we want to talk about today. Doc, please talk us through this topic today. Some people, you know, claim that they feel just fine on 4 to 6 hours of sleep every night. Is this
adequate? But the long-term effect is what they possibly don't realize. And I mentioned some weeks ago that the late one of the former presidents of the United States of America, Ronald Reagan, used to say, according to this literature I was reading, that he slept 6 hours at night and was pretty fine, that he's fine, just like you are saying. And then the late prime minister of United Kingdom, Margaret Thatcher, also said she did 6 hours in the night. But records show us that these individuals had Alzheimer's disease in the latter part of their years.
Oh my.
And so the case with those who sleep less than 7 hours on regular visits. That's the evidence that we have before us. Because lack of sleep or not having enough hours of sleep, recommended hours of sleep is 7 to 9 hours of sleep for most adults. Adults are supposed to have at least 7 to 8, 9 hours of sleep. More than 9, problem. Less than 7, problem. You know, our body, God made us to have range, like body temperature. It's a range. The way we live, whether how much alkaline, how much acid, everything is in ranges because we are not all exactly the same. So we see issues that when we don't meet up to the amount of time that we need to sleep, you mentioned one of the short-term effects. Yes, tiredness. But it also impairs memory and concentration. Because without good sleep, we cannot consolidate our memory and our ability to concentrate. So it impairs our ability to focus, to process information, and to retain memories. Of course, alertness. Reaction time. Sad to say, a few weeks ago, 21 individuals lost their lives in a motor vehicle accident after a sport event. They were leaving the southern part of Nigeria, going back to the north. And the people, the road safety corps, said it was most likely lack of sleep because the driver was driving long hours. So without sleep, we cannot have good reaction time. So one could have slept off. The other is that reaction time is key. So if we don't have enough sleep, we cannot respond appropriately in a situation that requires immediate responses. So that is one important part. Then we have mood changes, irritability, anxiety, depression. Chronic deprivation, chronic sleep deprivation will result in this. And it is very, very linked to mental health disorders. It's not uncommon to have people who are not sleeping enough to have hallucinations.
Wow.
This is when one will start seeing things that are not there.
My goodness.
Oh, yes. Lack of sleep can cause it. So people can experience perceptual distortions or what is called hallucinations. Then we look at physical health considerations. Weakened immune system. This is really a very key one. When the immunity is lowered because of lack of sleep, anything that comes will bring one down. Colds, flu, these are things that will happen from lack of sleep. Then we look at weight gain and obesity. Sleep affects the hormones that are to regulate hunger and satiety. Several years ago, I was doing internship at one of our wellness centers in the United States. And we had a gentleman came who was over 600 pounds. I'm not kidding you.
My goodness.
There was no human scale that would really be used for him. They had to take him to the slaughterhouse of cattle to have him to be weighed.
What?
Yeah. So when the person working directly with him, we call them the caregiver that is directly working one-on-one with him, when he was asked at the conference that how many times do this man eat in a day, the caregiver said once. And everybody looked at him like, so what's going on? Is this only hormones? He said it's only once, that once he starts, he never stops. So it's only once.
Yeah.
But the problem with the man was that he couldn't sleep. So he eats through the night. He eats during the day. When he wouldn't sleep, he goes to the refrigerator to find something to eat. He puts himself in front of the television and he takes microwave food and he keeps on eating and watching television. He had a back injury and he was put on bed rest. So, but he couldn't sleep because with no physical activity, not doing anything, sleep would not come. So he just kept on eating and he was so overweight. 600 pounds plus. I have never seen anything like that in my life. But thank God, the wellness center was able to help him. They fed him three times a day on high fiber food, and he lost the weight.
Oh, wow.
But lack of sleep can result in that. Plus, there are other diseases that lack of sleep can be responsible for. Heart disease. Hypertension, which is one of the most reason for heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and even stroke. Then we can think about hormonal and metabolic disruptions. Well, diabetes is a metabolic problem. And our hormones will affect everything, every organ in the body. So when we talk about reduced insulin sensitivity, we are looking again at diabetes, glucose intolerance. So these are things that we cannot push aside. Well, you know, Hamas, Zamas, the thing is that, Zama, sometimes I put S in your name, forgive me. The thing is that we don't realize that lack of sleep is the cause of the problem. We seem to isolate the problem and think that science say, or hospital science says, medical science says, we don't know the reason for this disease. Yes, that's what they say. We say we are still doing research. We are still trying to find what is the cause of this problem. Meanwhile, what is causing the problem? We are saying, oh, I don't have any problem with it. I sleep 3 or 4 hours, 6 hours, and I'm okay. No. We cannot say we are okay when we have a disease process that we are dealing with. And look at this. The 8 laws of health, once we disregard one and sleep is one, then it has train of problems in its track. So the problem is that we don't associate things that need to be associated. Because cortisol, the stress hormone, increases with lack of sleep. Growth hormone decreases, the one that is supposed to repair and give us proper metabolism, decreases with lack of sleep. But stress hormone increases. Something may have caused us not to sleep, but not sleeping will cause more problems for us again. It's really a circle that has no end. How about how it affects our brain? Of course it does. The risk of Alzheimer's disease, which I started with, Parkinson's disease that have been associated with lack of sleep. And then those who don't sleep enough hours, they live very short lives. That is just what research has effectively shown us. So sleep deprivation is a serious matter. By the way, before we round up today, I was asked a question last week. It just ran into my mind. And I said I would look at it and research it a little bit. And I did. The question was, how many hours before sleep time should we turn off our blue lights, our cell phones, our laptop, all those devices that emit this light into our eyes? And I suggested 3 hours. But when I went to investigate and look at what research has done, 1 to 2 hours is okay.
Oh,
1 to 2 hours before bedtime, we should turn off our phones. How many of us can do that?
It's difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy.
So because it's not easy, then we should use phones that have darkened lights that can take off the blue light for us in the evening. If we have the opportunity to have glasses that can shield our eyes, I got one of those ones when I got the latest glasses I got, because I just told that, look, when I'm driving at night, I have problems with the light. And so she gave me that kind of lens. Of course, you pay a little bit more, but it helps the eyes. And then you turn the phone to the darkened mode in the evening. And there are some laptops, once you set it in automatically at sunset, it will change to the night mood. We do all of these ones, it will help the amount of emission that of this light that gets into our eyes and help us to get to sleep on time. Because when we think about the immune system that is affected, we think about the neurological effects that happens, emotional, hormonal effects, and so on, affecting our health, it's a very serious matter. Our 7 to 9 hours of sleep at night is as important as eating good food. It's as important as drinking enough water. It is as important as all of those other laws of health. Because we have the freedom not to sleep does not mean that we get away with the sin. Because for every violation of those laws, in the long run, we sin against our body, we sin against our maker who created us. So we must take it serious. Some years ago, I began to take that very seriously, that it is necessary for me to get enough hours of sleep, because I remember doing business and they tell you that, look, burn the candle late into the night so that you can make it. Well, after making it, you make the money and so forth, and then you are sick. Then you use the money to try and get well.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
Of course you use.
That's the thing.
That's the thing. So it's very important that we take care of our health. Sleep is as important as eating good food. It's as important as drinking enough water. It's as important as having enough exercise on a daily basis. So getting sunlight during the day and turning off our devices in the night, going to bed same time in the evening, waking up same time in the morning. At first, it may be difficult, but with time, we get used to it to change. But we can also get some soothing herbs that can calm us down and help us to get to sleep. Mm-hmm. Like chamomile is a very friendly herb, like catnip.
Mm-hmm.
It is not advisable to use drugs, sleeping pills. They do not make us sleep. Yes, you can be unconscious and not feel like you are not alert, but we do not get the sleep that rejuvenates the brain, the sleep that helps our metabolism, the sleep that really makes us to live the following day. Those sleeping pills would not help us. Whatever else we need to do that we need to live or we need to take up, we need to learn how to do those things. We need to listen to some calming music instead of the ones that were jagged everything in us and make our whole system want to jump up and do something drastic in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Take a warm bath, learn to have deep breathing mechanism. If we can't sleep at night, we can do the breathing, breathe in for four, at the count of four,
mm-hmm.
hold it to the count of seven, breathe out with the pursed lips, let the air out of the mouth through your leave slowly to the count of eight. Do this several times. It's in the morning you remember most times that you are doing it, you will have slept off. These are things that we can do. Make our bedroom sleep friendly. Don't use the bed to bring office work and complete office work on your bed at home. Use good blackout curtains and keep electronics. We keep on saying that out of the bedroom. Don't keep TV in the bedroom. This is an advice that many of us will really learn to choose to do. We have television in the living room. We have television in the office. Then we bring television into the bedroom. Bedroom is a place to sleep. Then avoiding sleeping during the day. If we need a nap, it should not be more than 10, 15 minutes maximum.
Uh-huh.
20 to 30 minutes. Don't let that nap get too close to 4 p.m. Or too soon. not too soon, too late in the evening. So use bedroom only for sleep. Don't bring TV, works, and phone on your bed. And when we train our brain to associate our bed with sleep, our brain will learn it. And don't stay in bed when you are awake. Just get up. Do something, read book, not phone. If we don't sleep, we shouldn't go back to our phone. That would just take away the sleep the more until we feel sleepy reading. I learned that if I take my Bible and I read, I usually will get to sleep very quickly. Of course, stress and anxiety, we need to manage that stress and anxiety very, very well. Yes, these are things that we can do to make sure that we sleep, because sleep is very, very important.
Tell me, Doc, before I let you go, somebody says, I want to do this. I've been sleeping four or five hours, but every time that 4 or 5 hours hit, I'm awake. How do I then gain that extra 2 hours to be able to make the 7 hours or 8 hours?
Yes. What that person can do is to now begin to sleep a little earlier than before. A little earlier than before. I can testify, and I think I'm like that person. My body wakes in the morning about the same time, no matter what time I go to bed. If I go to bed late, I'll still wake up at that time.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, what I did is to follow the counsel when I read it, that go to bed earlier. And I tell you, sometimes I get my work done. I avoid sleeping during the day so that I have retired. I have turned off my phone by 6:30. And sometimes, especially Friday evening, I get in bed by 7:30. My children, when they were with me, now they are all adults on their own. They sometimes, if I'm said, well, I'm going to bed, and that time my bedroom was upstairs, and I'm halfway through the stairway, and they said, "Mom, this early?" I said, "Yes, that's the way." They say, "You go to bed like the roosters." I said, "Yes, that's very true." He said, "But suppose somebody want to talk to you?" As I said, "Well, the only thing that can take me out of that bed when I go that early is the fire department." And truly, they know it's the only the fire department, because they will not come to my bedroom door and knock.
Mm-mm.
They try one time or two times, and I said, "Get out of that place. It's my bedtime." So we just have to stand for what we know is right. Sometimes it may take a little bit before those around us will adjust to it. But once we insist, so I will advise the person, start going to bed earlier, get things done, and get to bed earlier. That way, you'll be able to add more hours to your sleep.
Beautiful. Doc, thank you so much for your time. Until we speak again.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.